Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of The Thunder Heist, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts, starting with Rob J. Hayes.
Hi, I'm Rob J. Hayes. I'm tired because it's late at night, but I've got coffee.
Michael R. Fletcher.
Hi, I'm Michael R. Fletcher, author of Beyond Redemption. I am less tired than Rob, but still kind of sleepy.
And we are joined by a special guest, stuff that word up, John Palladino. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Mike, do you want to introduce our guest and what we're going to talk about today?
Okay. So I think it was yesterday. Rob and I kind of accidentally wound up in a fairly long conversation on Facebook with John about publishing. It kind of led into a discussion of, you know, publishing related costs, how much people were paying for editing, art, and all that. You know, we saw a story that we had seen like many times, heard many times from a lot of authors about, you know, fairly, you know, I would say like exorbitant expenditures to publish, to self-publish a novel. And the sort of like the general gist being that publishing is, you know, it's expensive. You got to sink a lot of money into a book. So I thought it'd be really cool because we have heard the same thing so many times. If John was willing to sort of come in, hang out with us and talk about his experiences so far. And then we can sort of compare notes and kind of see where it goes.
Sounds great. So cool? Yeah, John, do you want to kind of just, talk a bit about that?
Yeah. Do you want to just like walk us through like your experience sort of so far?
Yeah, sure. So I wanted to publish, obviously, a book, which is what we all want to do. And I figured in order to do this professionally, I needed to sink a certain amount of money into it. So I thought in order to make the best product possible, I needed to hire really professional people. So I have my costs broken down here. Just the cover art alone, I spent $1,865 on because I wanted original art. And then we get into the editing. So it's my first actual attempt at publishing. So I kind of did the whole shebang. I paid for a manuscript evaluation. That was $1,180. I've done a developmental edit, which was $2,492. Then I haven't done the copy edit yet. That starts next month, I think. And that is going to be a total roughly of $3,266. And then I have formatting, which is $300, and proofreading, which I think is $2,000-ish. I'm not sure on that cost exactly yet. But if we take all those costs together, add it to, with some of the smaller costs, I think I came up to a figure roughly about $11,500.
Yeah, which is
right. That's massive. That's
a good chunk of change. Yeah.
Yes.
Like I, you know, for considering most, from what I've sort of heard, most self-published releases sell maybe 200 copies. Yeah, you know, that's for, especially for new authors, right? And even, you know, if you're charging, say you're charging $5 a book, you know, US on Amazon, you're making about $3 profit,
right?
So about $600. So, you know, that's a wide margin there. The one thing I was unsure about, so what the last one you said was a proofread, but you've got line edits in there as well, right? I'm unclear what the proofreader does.
The proofreading edit is supposed to be done once the whole thing is completely done. I don't, right. Do you guys do that?
Yeah. So a lot of authors do. I did it once with Pawn's Gambit. I literally sent it to a proofreader who just read through it and corrected any little grammar things, any little typos. But I mean, I think he charged something like $500 for that. So it was quite a bit cheaper than that. But
yeah. I've
I mean, you would usually catch as many of the typos and everything you can in the copy edit, to be honest. There's still quite a few changes that are usually done after a copy edit, but most self-published authors that I know of don't actually fork out for a proof edit as well. They'll hopefully get some of the proof editing done by the, you know, alpha readers or beta readers, whoever gets it after the last line of editing.
Just for context, how many words are in your novel, John?
So currently it's about 141,500 words.
Okay, so it is on the longer side, but it's not like, I was just wondering if it was a, you know, 300,000 word beast.
That's
right.
Okay, that makes sense. One thing I would bring up there is formatting. You said you're planning to pay $300 for formatting, or maybe you've already paid that.
I plan on having, because I don't know how to format the book correctly. I heard that if you don't know what you're doing, it can be kind of difficult to get it right.
I mean, you can actually buy software that will do that.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Something like Vellum, if you're working on a Mac, is...
Yeah, I don't
have $180 or something like that. $180 even, not even quid. Sorry, English money there. So that will basically take your Word file and turn it into an ebook.
I would probably recommend, because what I use, because I'm on Windows as well, I use a free tool called Readzy.com. They have a book formatter on their site, which is totally free. Like, you don't have to pay anything for it. And it's formatted like all of the books that I've got behind me here. And it does the ebook, does the paperback. It's awesome. Like, it's really, really good. Perfect. And it's totally free. So that'll save you $300 right there.
I work in Word on the PC.
Yeah.
I don't do any of that. I just go, I do all my formatting in Word and just upload it. And I've never had any problems.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's what I use. I use Word.
Yeah. Formatting is super easy. Even doing the print, the paperback and hardcover layout stuff. There's like a little bit of a learning curve, but it honestly, it's not hard.
How do you export the print from Word?
PDF.
So you just set it up with the right page sizes.
Amazon has templates you can download. And you just enter like your what size book you want to print. So like I like 6x9 because I like 6x9. And then you enter your page count and it goes here's your template. you download it, you put your document in there. So all your columns, all that's already set up for you. And then it's just a matter of deciding what spacing you like, what font you're going to use, and sort of checking like the ends of chapters that you're not sort of leaving blank pages and that kind of crap.
Right.
But it's really, I mean, I'm a moron and I can do it. It's really easy.
Yeah. I mean, it takes about a day to sort of like get it all formatted correctly.
Yeah.
But
yep. Yeah, it's goofing up.
That's still going to be cheaper than $300 or $400 yeah. or whatever. So
yeah. Plus, then you have the control over it as well. And if you need to make minor edits in the future, you're not having to pay someone $50 to change a single word or whatever. So yeah, would definitely recommend that.
Yeah, worth looking.
The only time I've literally forked out for formatting personally was with Spirits of Vengeance, where I wanted to have something a bit fancier than I had the wherewithal to do, which is why I just I contacted my cover designer Sean King and just said, like, look, if I just give you everything, can you make it look really pretty?
Nice. The other thing as well, with the cover art, like, that is expensive. I think you said it was about $1,800 or so. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was 1864, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So that is expensive, but that is also within the range for, like, you know, fully illustrated, really nice art. Like, Rob and Michael, you can probably speak to, like, how much Felix costs these days. He's probably around that range, if not more. But he is worth it. Like, if you're watching the video feed of this podcast, you can see some of the Felix's cover art behind Rob and Michael, and it looks spectacular. So it is totally worthwhile. If you are looking for a cheaper alternative, I think I've paid probably no more than about $200 for my cover art. And that's because I've gone on deviantart.com and basically just searched for artists who I really like their style, but they've not necessarily done any cover art before. Because if you are contacting people who have done books, they are going to charge a premium for that most likely. Whereas if you can just find a really good illustrator who can do work that you can then put on a cover, you're probably going to save a lot of money. So
yeah, DeviantArt and ArtStation, like excellent sources for finding new artists. And they've got a messaging system like set up. So great. It's super easy. Like I've been cold contacting artists, just talking about interior illustration stuff. And there's a ton of them there.
Yeah.
So there is
really recommend
another option for cover art as well. There are now a few companies that that specify or specialize in doing cover art for books. I know one of them is Miblart, MIBLART. And literally for, I think it's $200 or $300, they do the entire cover for you. You give them the specifications, it will go through a few rounds of edits and they'll give you the cover. They're not perfect in all ways, but a lot of the covers that they are producing they look really nice, to be honest. And there's a couple of others that some charge sort of like up to $500 or whatever, but I know quite a few authors who are using them, and some of them have incredibly nice covers and are doing really well for themselves with those covers. So you certainly don't need to spend a lot, but if you do want a really nice bit of custom art, then yeah, you're probably going to be spending sort of like $1,000+.
So I recall the cover contest in this current SPFBO. I think the book that won the cover contest was like a $250 Middle Earth cover or something.
Nice.
Was that Gunmetal Gods?
Did that one win? I know that one did well. I can't remember if that one.
I can't remember if it won, but yeah.
I just remember it might have been last year, even. Yeah. My brain, but I remember it was like Gunmetal
Gods was
one of those inexpensive covers. Won it, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Let me check it up. Gunmetal Gods is Gunmetal Gods got the judge's vote for the gold medal, which it's a very cool piece of art.
I'm not sure if that's the one I'm thinking of, though. I don't think.
But the
is.
Winners of the public poll was Ben Galley's one with the Forever King.
No, he does not win art, right? Yeah, yeah. It might be the last year's contest then.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. It's not hugely important.
Yeah, yeah. You can definitely get away with cheaper cover art if you want. I would definitely also recommend checking out our cover art episode if you haven't already, because we kind of talk about the principles that you want to be following with that. Do we want to talk a bit about editing costs?
Well, I'm a little bit confused. You said you had a manuscript what was it, manuscript analysis at the beginning or something?
An evaluation. Just, I guess, a professional opinion on how the novel reads, feels, major changes that need to be done to it.
Well, that's what a developmental edit. You had a developmental edit separately from that.
Yes. I'm not entirely sure on the differences between the two, but the changes were like really different. The developmental edit was overall character and plot issues. The manuscript evaluation was more general stuff. So like you need to add more details regarding geography. You need to do more description on some clothing, just more like general stuff, I guess. At least that's how the editor I paid for did it. Okay. I have the documents on my other computer, but of course.
Yeah.
But so like, I guess the evaluation is just more of a general detail kind of world building stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I've never done one of those before. I think if you're, you know, for budget options, what I tend to do, and I think most sort of the self-pub crowd, because we just can't afford all that, is the first step one is like get a couple of like friends, or you know, do the writer's group thing. Yes. And you know, and have other anybody read it. And certainly like anyone who loves fantasy. You know, and at that point, if you can get even just three people to read like a fairly early draft, right. And it's surprisingly difficult to find three people.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. And ironically, I have never had an issue with that part.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I don't know why.
And then you're listening to feedback. And if you're hearing the same thing at all, then you're like, oh, I got to fix that. Yeah. If one guy is like, oh, I didn't like the characters, and the other one's like, the characters were amazing, and the third one's like, I don't understand mountains, then you're like, yeah, you're all useless.
Right.
But, you know, you sort of look for common trends. If it gets past those sort of initial readers, you know, at that point, I think you're kind of ready to go. I would skip developmental editing, you know, whatever the first one was called as well.
I wouldn't plan on doing that this time.
Yeah. I would say unnecessary.
Right.
I mean, if you've read enough books, you just have like a gut level understanding of how stories work. Right.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to spend money on editing, and you know, you do need to, it would be that sort of final editing stage, you know, the line edits.
Copy edit, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, copy edit. And most of the copy editors I've worked with, they're kind of paying attention to the other stuff as well.
Agreed.
And like, you know, if Sarah, who's edited a pile of my books, if she notices that I've, you know, like there's a continuity error, she'll probably catch it. You know, if she's like, yeah, you know what, you haven't actually mentioned this character since, you know, like 9 chapters ago, like maybe it's a bit long, like she catches stuff like that. And a lot less than $3,000.
Yes, I would say, I'm not sure if it still exists anymore, but a good website if you do struggle to find people to read those early drafts of your book is critiquecircle.com. Basically, it's just like a site where people put up their manuscripts and you critique each other's. And I found it very useful, like probably going back 5 or 6 years or so with previous books. But yeah, definitely. Yeah. Rather than the development edit, much better off just getting some feedback from friends, even if it's like, you know, you send them 2 or 3 chapters and they give you comments on that. That's going to tell you a little bit about your writing style and whether it's engaging and whether it's hooking them and that sort of thing. Yeah, proofread, because you mentioned the proofreading costs were like about $2,000. Is that right?
I think so. I don't know the actual cost on that yet, really.
That's fair. Estimate. Yeah.
That seems very high for proofreading.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I had someone else I was looking at, and that was like, if I did the math right, and I'm not a math savant, so I think it was only like $420. And I was like, well, that seems reasonable. And then my editor recommended this other person who I guess is really a big proofreader person. I don't know. I guess they work together quite frequently, though. But she said she's really good.
Honestly, don't think the big five publishers spend that much on a book.
Right.
They'll hire a freelance editor to do the editing for about $1,000. Now, mind you, if they don't think the book's pretty damn close to being publishable, they're just not going to pick it up at all. But there's no way they're spending
$12,000 on a book.
Like art and everything in like. Certainly not advertising and marketing, like everything. Probably including your advance, they're not spending that much.
So I know that my costs are inflated, to say the least. And I kind of have known that all along. I thought maybe if I pay people that seem professional, it's really hard to determine when you're not in the business already.
Yeah.
Is this editor worth it? Is this editor good? Is $200 for a developmental edit worth it? Probably not. But like you guys said, developmental edits are, I don't think most editors or most writers do those. I've also heard that once you do it once, you never need to do it again because it's the same information.
I can imagine that. Yeah.
I mean, what'll be interesting is to see like how the book is when it's finished. Cause I mean, if you've succeeded in finding like really high end editors and everything, it's entirely possible this is absolutely going to pay off. Like there's no sort of wrong approach to this stuff.
No.
You know, all we can offer is the sort of, poor guy living in a ditch sort of version.
I am also not well off when it comes to money. I just have extenuating circumstances where I quit my job during COVID and got lucky with, I had some savings and I also have a dog that makes some money. So
your dog has a
job? Your dog makes money?
I need a dog with a job.
Get married. No, I'm just kidding. So I actually have a serious question though about editing.
Yeah.
What is a, I just want to compare between how long my editor took to edit and how long maybe your editor would take to do one of your edits.
Sure. Rob, do you want to kick off?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I've used a few editors in my time. One of them was a bit sketchy and he took about a year. I never used him again.
That's
fine. I've used Sarah quite a few times. She usually, she's got a bit of a waiting list at the moment, I think, but she usually
full name, Rob?
Sarah Chorn. She has a bit of a waiting list, I think, but she usually gets to it in about a month or so tops. And then I also used Mike Myers, and he was always incredibly quick. Like from the moment of contacting him to getting it back, it was usually about a month.
Yeah, a month is pretty typical. I mean, assuming they don't have a huge waiting list.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, but my editor was probably about, because I didn't use a professional editor. I used my friend, but she is a really good writer as well, and was quite affordable too. I think she probably took about, maybe a month and a half, something like that. So shouldn't take super long usually. And I would definitely recommend including some time clauses in your contract that you're doing with the editor as well. You don't want to just let them have infinite time to go away with what they're doing.
Right. So when you guys say a month, do you mean a month from when they received the book?
When they started working on it, basically.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, if you send it to them and they say, I'm going to get to it in February, then you get it by the end of March, beginning of March, whatever.
Right. Yeah. So mine, I think my developmental edit took 6 weeks.
and I think the copy edit is budgeted for 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's not unreasonable.
You do have a fairly longish book at 140,000 words, so that does make sense. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know, like, Sarah she'll get a book back to me within a month, give or take a week. But I mean, she's also, she'll go through like 4 books kind of thing in that month. So it's not like a month of working on your book. It's, you know, she sort of rotates, I think, I'm guessing, rotates through, you know, 4 books, kind of working on them all at the same time. I'm guessing that's her approach, but I know she just recently, she mentioned, she edits about 4 or 5 books a month on average.
Nice. Rob and Mike, do we want to go through the rough sort of costs for the books that we publish? Don't have to be specific, but it could just be a useful exercise to kind of establish our costs.
I mean, it depends a lot on the book. These days, I'm usually looking at about $3,000 tops. That's with hiring the artist, or, you know, we'll just say Felix, because that's pretty much all I hire these days, because he's too good. hiring the artist, hiring the cover designer, and then editing, basically, either 1 or 2 passes. But 3,000 is usually absolute upper limit of what I'm going to be spending on getting a book ready for publication.
Yeah, for me, I think 2,000 would be typical, and that's editing and art. I don't hire a cover designer. I do all that shit myself because I'm cheap. But then it usually ends up creeping up to 3,000 because I get all excited about illustrations now.
Yes.
And having them in the book. So in the end, it's creeps up to around 3,000, but that's including, you know, spending, you know, $1,000 on, you know, interior illustrations, which will be like 8 to 10 sketches kind of thing.
Yeah. And for me, my costs are pretty different. The last book I published, this one here, Thunder Heist, that cost me about $850, which is roughly $600. The main cost for that one, cover art, was about $250 from the guy that I found on DeviantArt. Editing was by my friend who did a really good job for like about $300. And then I also paid, unnecessarily in hindsight, but I did it because I just wanted it to be cool, a little bit extra for this like random logo at the start.
nice.
Like, that was actually more expensive than my cover art. But
what?
Yeah, it's I paid like $300 for that, but yeah, it was cool. I was like, oh yeah, I want like this sick, you know, glyph to sum up the series or whatever. But yeah, in hindsight, I probably wouldn't have done it, even though the graphic designer did a great job. And then there's also like interior illustrations inside, so that's just a black and white version of the cover, and also a bunch of things that I drew myself, if I can get someone up.
Crayon stick.
Wait, you're an artist?
Yeah, well, I have an architecture degree, so I've got like quite a lot of experience in graphic design and sort of like photorealistic illustrations and that sort of thing. So, like, here
you
is
don't
an
actually know anything about you.
Yeah. No, so that's just like a random interior thing.
Cool,
I've got.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like I've got about maybe 6 or so of those pieces in there.
Yeah, we don't like talented people. We don't like
anyone. No, we don't like that at all. We don't want people here.
Unless we can like suck the talent out of them and, you know, well, that's right. It can be only one.
Yeah. So so I guess that gives you a sort of range of costs. Mike and Rob obviously have more money to invest in their books after having done this for a bit more years and having more sales than me. So it just depends on, yeah, like where you want to allocate those costs, I guess. And also with that book, like, because I was doing art by myself, formatting by myself and everything, it did increase probably the production time. But I was happy to take that offset. So any other kind of questions, John, as we wrap up this episode? Thanks for coming on, by the way. This has been really good.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. It's been great. I did have one more question here. All right, so you kind of maybe already answered this a little bit, but I guess a definitive answer would be nicer. What do you guys think would be the absolute necessary edits to get a book out there that you are confident in? So, like, do you think just a copy edit?
Yeah, I would say as long as you are confident that the book meets your standard, that you think it's a good book, and that you've had, like, you know, maybe a few other sort of readers say, yeah, no, this is good, send it for a copy edit. Definitely needs to go for a copy edit. And then, you know, you can kind of do a lot of the proofing yourself with a good, a few read throughs and good word editing, and then maybe a few extra sort of alpha readers. Yeah. So I personally wouldn't spend for a proof edit.
Yeah, I do about 8 editing passes myself, read throughs in different ways. Sometimes I'll have Word read it back aloud to me as I read along. That helps catch a lot of stuff. But I'll go through the book about 8 times solid before my editor sees it. And I think I might be getting better at this, because the last time she said, yeah, that was a really clean manuscript, which is, I think, the first time she said that. Which a really clean manuscript means, like, there was a page with no edits on, and I'm like, yes,
a single page that she didn't
single page with. But yeah, I totally agree with Rob. That's the one edit I would do.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
It is actually the only edit I do, like, that I pay for.
Same.
Right.
Like with Mike, I do several different editing classes, get Word to read it aloud. I read it aloud myself, which is pretty exhausting, but definitely worth it. And then another thing I do is, like, I'm not sure if I've done this with previous novels, but definitely with my first book, I had a printed proof copy of it, and I read through it and literally put a dot under every single word in the book as, like, a way of making sure that I wasn't skimming over it or, like, skipping past sections. Sounds really weird, but it was good. It, like, helped me pick up a lot of stuff. And that
matters. You're literally reading a book one word at a time.
Oh god, that sounds so painful.
There was, like, a while ago, there was a version of a book behind here that was that original book, and I, like, folded down the pages that I found issues on, and it was, like, every second page. So I'm not sure where it is. Yeah, I have to find that sometime. But anyway, I think with editing, I guess if you have a lot of money and you don't want to do that, like, editing, the final, like, editing proofreading yourself, like, you probably could outsource it. And I have thought about that, but I think ultimately no one is going to care about the quality of your book as much as yourself. And it's really critical to, like, do those final proofreading passes on your own, just to make sure that you're catching, you know, the one or two words that are out of there. And then even then, like, when you publish a book, there's going to be readers probably messaging in, saying, like, there's stuff up this word on this page. So, just be ready in the
all your typos, they sneak through.
Yes. Even, like, very professional books as well. Like, I loved what was it? Like, The Shadow Saint by Gareth Hanrahan, like, one of my favorite books. But, like, the amount of typos in that book, I was like, this makes me feel better about myself, because this is, like, you know, has a huge amount of publishing credit behind it, but it's still got these things that are showing up in it. So I guess that's sort of a good spot to wrap up this episode. John, thanks so much for coming on. What's the name of the book, man? What's the name of the book, by the way? Do you have a title for it?
Oh, the one that it should hopefully come out in July. It's called The Trials of Ashmount.
Is that a huge poster of it behind you?
Actually it is.
can you tilt the camera to show us?
Let's see. It's hard to, because of the glare.
Yeah.
It does look quite nice.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, nice. It's,
and I just realized my camera is not, it's reversing everything, isn't it? But whatever.
Oh, no, it's all good for us. It's all good for us.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Cool. So that's The Trials of Ashmount. Comes out in July or so. Sweet. Thanks for...
hopefully July.
Awesome. Yeah, well, fingers crossed with all the last stages of the edits. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing your story. I think that was really useful. And hopefully to writers out there thinking about starting their first book in terms of publishing it. Hopefully this has given you some useful things to go off. Sweet.
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching, listening. Also, our new website is up. Briefly checked out my inbox just then, and someone has already used the voice message feature on our website, so that's very exciting. Yeah, I don't know what it is though, so I'm not going to play it live on the episode. Maybe next time.
You want to buy Viagra?
Out. Yeah, no thanks. Unless it makes me a better writer. Who knows? Anyway, on that note, that has been our episode. I will see you all next week. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Ciao. Bye.